The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, I'm Adam Jones of the Financial Times. Welcome to part two of my GMAT podcast, in which I talk to Dave Wilson, the chief executive of GMAC, the body that sets the test. Your organisation has recently shut down a website called ScoreTop that was accused of breaking the rules by featuring live GMAT questions. How many people used the site, and what is now going to happen to them?
Well, a lot of people used the site because there are a lot of sites out there that allege to provide better test preparation than anything else. ScoreTop had a substantial number in the thousands of people who actually used it. What we have found is that within ScoreTop, there was a VIP section that you paid $30 for 30 days to get into. And this particular part of the site allegedly provided live or real test questions. And encouraged members to participate in the provision of new questions or confirming questions they'd seen. We have been tracking them for quite some time jointly with the FBI and have recently we've recently gone to court and been awarded a judgment in our favor and have shut them down and have taken over their URL as well as their hard drive. Now, if you look at the continuum of the people who visited that site. At the one extreme, you've got sort of the drive-by surfers who simply hit it on the way by. As you move up, you've got those who participated in it and maybe even participated in the VIP section but weren't aware. They were unwittingly accessing GMAT questions, but they didn't know much about it one way or another. Then you move up to those who confirmed that after they had taken the exam that they had seen questions. At the other extreme, way out in the extreme, those who actually contributed questions. We are limiting our focus right now to people in those last two groups, the people who confirmed and the people who actually contributed questions. The most difficult part of this is that the whole test prep arena is basically a field full of landmines that you could step on. And the vast majority of candidates are honest and hardworking, and they bump into a ScoreTop and suddenly find themselves in a very unpleasant situation. We're not interested in the vast majority because they are legitimate, hardworking people. We're interested in those who, after they agreed to take the test and had to take the test, provided confirming or new information. And there are two other interesting parts to this. First of all, the tragic irony is that even getting three or four or five questions won't change your score significantly. And so even getting the questions won't provide you with that great a benefit. And then finally, in many, many instances, the great testimonials that are written in the chat rooms for these test prep sites are actually written by the test site owners. And so even the testimonials are fraudulent. And so, you know, I really hope that young people who do want to take test prep focus on staying away from anything that suggests that they might be gaining an unfair or illegal advantage because the cost is far greater than the benefit.
You said that your focus for the moment, and I think you used the phrase for the moment, is on the people who confirmed or posted live questions. I mean, can you rule out pursuing those who might have been, say, members of the VIP section of ScoreTop but who weren't so active?
No, we're going to limit our focus on those who have either confirmed live items or contributed live items.
And those who posted live questions, they don't really have a leg to stand on, do they, really? After all, the warnings when you take the test are pretty explicit.
No, they don't. Now, we take the notion of canceling a test score and all the derivative actions that go with that, notifying the school, preclusion of testing again. Making that decision is not one we would make trivially. And so we'll spend a lot of time being absolutely certain that anyone whose score is canceled is one who really has violated, as you say, without a leg to stand on.
And have you canceled any scores yet as a consequence of your action against ScoreTop?
We have not canceled any scores as yet since we got the hard drive. We have very competent professional forensic specialists who are going through the hard drives right now. We're working around the clock because we know schools are up against a deadline for admissions, and candidates are too. And we will communicate publicly as soon as we get that data.
And do you have any idea how many people might have their scores canceled?
Not at this point.
And is it possible that some people will be thrown out of MBA courses or have their MBA withdrawn if they have already been to business school?
I'm not sure of the answer to that one, because that would be a function of what a school is permitted to do. And you'd have to ask schools that question. I don't know what rights and responsibilities schools have at that point.
And why did it take GMAC so long to act on ScoreTop? I know there was an FBI investigation going on for a while, but your legal complaint was only filed in June 2007. And according to the court documents, that was nearly 9 months after the FBI investigation became public knowledge.
We waited until, as you know, when you're working to build a criminal case, it takes a lot longer to build it. And so working with the FBI, we worked as expeditiously as we could together to get to that point. Then we had to put together our filing for the court process. And that, again, everything in the case of justice just moves a lot slower than you think it should. And it still does.
Are you concerned about any other GMAT-themed websites that might be breaking your rules now?
We know of a number of sites that are out there. We track them all. And we will continue to go after every single one of them with a vengeance as soon as we learn about it and how we can possibly move towards them and act against them.
And so in general, how should people preparing for the GMAT approach chat rooms? I mean, should they just completely steer clear of them, or should they just focus on keywords that might flash up or things that should particularly ring alarm bells?
You raise a very good point. There's so many very good test prep companies out there. And, you know, GMAT and the test prep companies are in the same business. We're trying to get the candidate in the best possible match. And the only difference is that the test prep companies are the coaches who are making the athlete, preparing the athlete for the race. And our job is to set a fair course and to hold the clock. And there are a lot of really respectable test prep organizations out there who are as damaged by this as anybody. And so I would encourage young people to watch out for words that suggest that you're getting live questions or real questions, or if you're asked to bring live or real material in. The reality is we have the capacity to mask questions as soon as we discover that there's a problem with it. If we had, for example, if we discovered the answer to a question was flawed for some reason, we can simply shut that question down instantaneously. And so while it's still out there, it can't be accessed by a test taker. And so there's very little gain to a candidate thinking they're going to get inside unfair advantages over anyone else, because the vast majority of the claims that these companies make are fraudulent and false.
Well, let's hope that people can steer clear of these chat rooms. And thank you very much for your time.
Well, thanks so much, Adam. All the best.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.